Will you turn with me to the passage we read there together this morning, John's Gospel and chapter 12, and I want us to think of the example that is given to us of Mary in the first 11 verses of that chapter. Today we're going to look at the anointing of different people, and this morning here is the anointing by Mary of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have here a very simple challenge to us. We can so often be taken up with complexities and difficult questions from scriptures and from the Bible. We can sometimes be perplexed as to what it means and how it applies to us. We can be so often taken up with such intricate but important subjects. But here this morning, there is one simple matter brought before us. A simple challenge out of the life of Mary. As we look at all that she did and what she said, as we look at all the circumstances surrounding this event, the one question that sooner or later comes into our minds is, why did she do this? Why? And we've got to hold on to this thought right at the very beginning. She did it because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She had that relationship with Him. And because of that love to Him, here we see it demonstrated in anointing His feet. And in giving her example, so we have a challenge for ourselves. Do we have that same relationship with Jesus? Do we trust Him? Do we love Him? And particularly, do we love Him for what He has done for sinners in providing a way of peace, life, and salvation? So let's simply take one theme, one simple but important and vital spiritual challenge to us this morning about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's set the scene. This took place in Bethany. It started on the 6 days before the Passover. There's difficulty, perhaps slight problems in setting the time scale, but it was 6 days before the Passover started, possibly on a Thursday. So they arrived the Saturday before. It was all male company as they had that supper. The 12 apostles with the Lord, Lazarus himself, and one man called Simon the leper. At least that number. Because it was in his house this was taking place. Mary and Martha were there helping in the provision of hospitality and serving those who were having their supper. And sometime through the evening, sometime through the meal, events were abruptly stopped as Mary came in with this jar of ointment derived from a very aromatic herb found in the foothills of the Himalaya. An aromatic herb that is used and associated with times of festivities, of weddings, rather than funerals. It came through different foothills, highland passes, through many dangers on the back of camels. And because of the rarity of it and the distance it traveled, it was a very expensive ointment. 300 pence, the price that was put against it here. That is, on the scale of these days, the equivalent almost to a year's pay or salary. A very expensive ointment used by Mary on Jesus. She pours it out over Him. She goes further against the culture and expectation of her day because she loosens her hair and lets it down and uses her hair to wipe His feet. The air, the atmosphere is heavy with the fragrance of the ointment she had. There are questions being put about why did not sell it for the provision of the poor and complaints about the waste. Others of the disciples join in with what Judas was saying. And there is one person who came to the defense of Mary. Leave her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she done this? The simple details of this event at Bethany. What then are the points and the lessons and the challenges for ourselves? First of all, we see here the devotion of her heart and of her soul. Mary, with Martha her sister, are brought before us for the first time early on in Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10 of Luke. They're in their own home, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples come to be fed. Both Mary and Martha start feeding, but very soon Mary drops out. And we find Mary sitting, listening to Jesus. Martha has been pulled in so many different directions. She's got so much to do, providing for so many people and so many courses perhaps to set before them, all on her own. And so she explodes with a complaint. And the Lord says, Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen the better part and portion. The Lord disapproves of the way Martha speaks, but at the same time deals tenderly with her. A big meal, a large crowd of the disciples there. But what Jesus is saying to Martha and to us is this. There are certainly things in life that are emphasized and have demands upon us. There are important things in life, yes, but there are other more important things. And that is highlighted for us by the way in which Jesus says, Mary has chosen this one thing. One thing that is more important than serving tables and making provision. We're not told exactly what that one thing is, but we can see it there in the life of Mary, sitting, learning, taking in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life now has a focus, a purpose, an aim. She's no longer self-reliant. She doesn't solve her own problems. She doesn't stand on her own feet, drawing on her own resources. Through God's grace, through the work of God's Holy Spirit in this Mary, she's been brought to fix her hope and her confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying and words that Jesus speaks now are sweet, they're desirable. She wants to hear them. She's hanging on every word which Jesus says. That's how important they are. And the effect of these words upon Mary's life is that they speak to her of forgiveness and of life, of enjoyment, of blessing from God. She's found an experience of a fullness of life that she never had before. But she's had it every day since. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She loved him. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and her Lord. What he did for Lazarus, her brother. What he taught her. What hope and prospect he held out before her. The promises that he had made to her, hanging on every word Mary's simple love, deep felt devotion, her commitment, her enjoyment of the Lord. There are many. Oh, there are many claims that come into our lives, just as we've identified some of them in the transaction at Bethany there. All of us have our own priorities. But Mary challenges what list we do have. And she sets the first thing that's to be the top of that list for us as well as for herself. The best foundation in life is to spend time with Jesus. He satisfies His people with His words of pardon and forgiveness. He satisfies His people with the presence of the Lord Himself. Every morning His mercies are new. At the end of the day we can speak of His faithfulness, that He has not let us down. When we live following Him and obeying Him, there is a satisfaction and a fullness we've never known from anyone or anything else. To be fresh every morning in His grace and in His love. To be experiencing His presence with us constantly, whatever comes our way. To have that new relationship with Him is something that is exciting. Something that is fulfilling. She had it. And it is true of every other one throughout the years as we followed the steps of Mary in her love and in her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that will never be lost or taken from God's people. Oh yes, when you look about you in life, you see the way in which people come and people go. There are football stars and pop stars, and they come into their height and then they are eclipsed and decline. Political leaders come for their day on the levers of power, but then have to give them up. Kings, rulers, magnates in industry have their own day, but they too are in decline. And ultimately it's forced from their hands what they once grasped and held on to. But for the Christian, we have something which time will not take from us, and man cannot steal from us. A spiritually rich person, loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary's simple devotion. And she, by her life, puts the question to ourselves. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we satisfied by Him and with Him that we sit at His feet and drink in of His words like she did? Putting our confidence in Him, satisfied with Him. His words are precious. His words are powerful to us. His gift of life is something we enjoy every day. We may have difficulties, perhaps, when we look back over our life, we may have difficulty setting out, well, exactly when was I converted and where did it happen and how did it happen? Some of these questions can hold us back from speaking about our own spiritual experiences. But the one important experience and question we have to face up to this morning is this one. Has it happened at all? Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as Mary did, sitting at His feet, drinking in of His words, showing her love in this way of anointing His feet also? Mary's devotion and love to the Lord. But if she had a love to the Lord, And if the life of Jesus, if the life of Mary challenges us in our relationship with Jesus, she went on, she went further. What she felt in her soul was soon seen in her life. Because she demonstrated that love in a very vivid and a most remarkable way. She took this ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus. We've identified, we've tried to explain how costly it was and why. It was pure, there was no dilution, there was no watering down of this ointment. It was expensive and it was pure. And what she did wasn't a casual spur of the moment thing. It was a quite deliberate expression of her spiritual love to the Lord. She had tasted of salvation. She had known of the Lord's ministry to her. Day after day, she could speak of what the Lord meant to her and what the Lord had done for her that day. She knew the difference Jesus made in her life. And now, nothing was too much for Jesus. It was nothing but the very best for him. She gave this ointment, anointing his feet. But she went further than that, we're told. She let down her hair, and she used her hair to wipe his feet of that ointment. And what she did was a very bold thing. Because to have her hair down like that was to put a question mark against her morals. It immediately raised the eyebrows of all of the company that were there. And you can imagine the way they would have exchanged glances, immediate looking one to the other and then at Mary. What's she doing? Does she realize what she is saying? Does she realize what she's done by letting her hair down? It's against the culture. It's against the tradition. It's saying something about her that she doesn't want heard. But Mary didn't stop to measure that kind of reaction. Her heart was overflowing at the point of bursting with a new discovery that she's made of Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. She had tasted of his pardon and of his forgiveness. Something that when we taste of it for the first time, it's so sweet and refreshing. So vital and so needed. She tasted of her freedom, of forgiveness. She tasted of a fullness of life that she'd never heard or known before. And now, with her love to the Lord, she was not going to be restricted. She was not going to be contained within human bounds and within human limits. She demonstrated her passion and her love to the Lord, plain and simple, in an open public statement. She tells everyone where her commitment lies. She tells them where her affection rests. She tells them where her hope and the focus and the foundation of her life now is. Through this single event, all the world knows that Jesus Christ is her Savior. He is the most important person in all the world to her. And she shows it. And there we have the second challenge coming to ourselves. Is Jesus that important to us also? Does he have first place and first claim in all the things in our life? Do we have that same passion for him as Mary had? That we're willing to show it and let it be known an open public statement in a single event that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Or perhaps we're still looking over our shoulders. Perhaps we're still looking over our shoulder. What will such and such a person say? And what will so and so person think? What will our pals and our friends say? Remember Joseph and Nicodemus in John chapter 19. They were secret followers of the Lord. They hadn't come out on the side of the Lord until the day and the events of his death. And then they went forth boldly to seek the body of Jesus. To do so was to nail their colors to the mast, to show to all the world that they were on the side of the disciples and they were followers of the Lord Jesus. It took that crucial event to bring them out. To bring them out and to speak out publicly on the side of Jesus Christ. Perhaps for a long time there was a battle. There was a fight in their soul and in their heart. Perhaps there was a conflict day after day. But eventually, there was one crucial experience that won the day. And that was when Jesus was crucified on that cross. And there was his body, and nobody cared except Joseph and Nicodemus. They loved the Lord, struggling for long enough, perhaps, until that crucial experience brought them out to demonstrate, as we said, in a single public event and statement, demonstrating their commitment to the Lord. But then we move on. Why was it that Mary did this? We are given an insight to her understanding. Judas, yes, criticized Mary. He complained that this should have been sold on the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was the treasurer, had the bag and the money that was in it, and he could dip his hand in the bag whenever he wanted to. That's why he wanted the money, the ointment sold. But she didn't do that, because she had a higher purpose in mind. Jesus says in verse 7, "Leave her be. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." Mary understood something. Mary knew of the approach of the death of Jesus. Then, would his friends be able to anoint him when he died? Then, would they be able to perform that vital of ministries of anointing a dead body in preparation for burial? Not then. But Mary wasn't going to accept that as the final word. She appreciated how much Jesus meant for her and did for her. And so she had this jar. And she kept the jar for this appointed purpose of anointing Jesus. But if she wasn't going to be able to do it at the time of his death, then whenever the opportunity came close to it, she was going to do it then. And so now we have the crucial time. Now is the crunch moment. The whole event and time was heavy with her devotion and her appreciation. The whole event was heavy with the symbolism and the significance of what she was doing. Why was she doing this? The anointing was associated with the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary had this understanding, insight, discernment. Mary saw something of what was in the future days for Jesus. Mary saw something that was going to happen within the next 7 or 8 days of the cross and of Calvary and of what was going to happen there to Jesus. She saw it. She understood it. Do we have that kind of understanding of what happened at Calvary? Is it still a mystery to us? The Bible focuses and its emphasis comes to rest in each of the gospel stories. They pick up different events out of the life of Jesus. They show to us different parts of his ministry, but they all come to one final point. Each one of the four writers traveling different roads from time to time, but they all come to the simple, final, crucial event, the cross of Calvary. And we have the question in our minds, do we understand what the cross is all about? Or are we untouched by it because we don't have an understanding of it? No interest, because there's no insight. Do we understand why Jesus came into this world? Why he lived the way he lived, and especially why he died the death he died? Do we understand these things? Perhaps we've heard them from many years through all of our Sunday school and other services and other places. And it's all been a muddle to us. It's all been a muddle to us. Until one time, God gives us understanding. And we see the wonder and the marvel. We see the greatness of God's provision for sinners, a holy God, providing a perfect Savior that sinners like we are can come before God. The understanding which Mary had about the cross and the death of Jesus Christ, their dealing with sin so that sin being dealt with may never again dominate and debar our entry before God. He came, Jesus came, and he set his face, we're told, steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. There was a determination with Jesus to die on that cross. He came to die so that his people may be forgiven. She saw that. She saw that purpose in the life and death of Jesus, the great transaction to deal with sin. Have we got that understanding on the gospel? Can we say with a personal interest and commitment from in our own souls, can we say, he loved me and gave himself for me? Our understanding, how far does it run in gospel things? Most important, the most important understanding we can have. We try to understand so many things in life. We're always searching for knowledge. We're always probing. We're always asking questions. But this is the most important area of information for all of us. This is the most important area of knowledge. This is the most important relationship any one of us can have. Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as Mary did? And then there's one simple last thing about her life. What Mary did, yes, all of them, disciples there joined in with what Judas was saying. Why was it not sold for this and this done with it and that done with it? So many of them misunderstanding her spiritual understanding of the death of Jesus. But again, there was just one person that stood up and spoke out for her. Wherever this message goes, this same act of Mary will be spoken of also. He commended her actions. Here we have an example of a life that has been changed, of a deep love, of an open heart. Here we have a life that has been dedicated to God and a soul that is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is going to be seen by so many people. Whenever this passage is read, that's the one thing that shouts at us and comes at us from the passage. Mary's love to Jesus. The question then rebounds back on ourselves. Is our love to the Lord Jesus Christ seen by others? Last Sunday evening we were speaking of the way in which the Old Testament people of God engaged in evangelism, not so much by outreach, but by attraction. Come with us, and we will do you good. There was that attractive quality about the people of God that other people wanted to be with them. They had something that these other people lacked. They had something that was missing from the lives of so many others. And surely that's what we've got to be like today as well. There are so many people about us, and their lives are empty, no matter how they may talk up their own book. Their lives are empty because there's something vital missing from their lives. They do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And as we know Him, and as we trust Him ourselves, we are to show to others who we love, and in doing so attract them to the Savior that we have. What will we be remembered for? What will people speak about and say about us? Our love to Him, our hope and our confidence, the likeness of character, the warmth of spirit, the simple devotion and love in our hearts. A simple challenge from Mary. Do we trust in Jesus Christ and love Him? And do others see that from us? Do we have an interest? An interest for our soul and for all eternity? And what happened here on the cross. Do we see something of the greatness of that event? God commending His love to us. God commending His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross. Do we love Him? Do we have an interest in Him for what He has done there? In the place of sinners, Mary's love. A simple question that bursts out of her life, lingers with ours, and constantly challenges us on our relationship. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we love Him as our Savior? And our Lord, just like Mary did. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, oh, we bless Thy name for the way in which Thou dost, in Thy grace, order our providences and our lives bringing us to this great confrontation in thy word, bringing us together here today, all of us with different complex paths and characters, but confronting every one of us with the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. And as we hear these words from the Scriptures, and as they linger in our soul after the voice of man has stopped, Lord, may they yet be underneath the blessing of thy Spirit, powerful words and events and experiences for us, bringing us along the path of grace, along the path of faith and of love, dealing with us, Lord, in thy mercy, that we too may trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and at the beginning, thee will I love, O Lord, my strength, my fortress is the Lord, my rock and he that doth to me deliverance afford. My God, my strength, whom I will trust, a buckler unto me, the horn of my salvation and my high tower is he. Upon the Lord who worthy is of praises will I cry, and then shall I preserve thee safe from mine enemy. Floods awful men affrighten me, death's pangs about me when, hell's sorrows me envire, and death's snares did me prevent. In my distress I called on God, cried to my God did I. He from his temple heard my voice, to his ears came my cry.
And then grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all.